Imagine if your elderly parents or grandparents couldn't go to the grocery store because it had been destroyed, couldn't have drinking water in their home, couldn't have lights on, couldn't heat their homes because of lack of electricity. What would you do to help them? This is the reality of most of Eastern Ukraine today. More than 2 million people over the age of 65 live this reality day after day. Because of the generosity of people like you, International Access to Missions, together with our Ukrainian partners, have continued to take truckloads of food to these dear folks who are in need. Once the food is transported into Ukraine, we divide it into individual packages that are then distributed directly to those in need. Many of these people have expressed sincere gratitude for this provision and have asked us not to forget about them as we go about our day-to-day life here in America. This is David Vlasenko, one of our partners who has helped us in distributing these food packages. Next to him is Anna, who wished to express her gratitude for the food we provided for her. She shared with us that at the beginning of the war, many of her own relatives fled to different parts of Western Europe, but she was not able to do so due to her limited finances. She felt forgotten about and asked that we continue to remember the people of Ukraine who were left behind and are in desperate need of help. This is the story of many Ukrainians, just like Anna, who are 75, 80, or 90 years old and are having a difficult time surviving. For many, this is the only source of food due to economic hardships and destruction caused by the war. We are preparing to take another truckload of food into Ukraine to help feed primarily the elderly people like Anna. Would you consider helping us help those in need by providing a financial gift to purchase the necessary food and bless as many people as we possibly can? Thank you in advance for partnering with us and making a difference for many who are experiencing a desperate season of life. If you would like to learn more about us or make a donation, you can find additional information at www.ia2m.org. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you this morning and to worship our King Jesus, to bring him the praise, the honor that he deserves. Amen. I want to thank you for everything that you do for missions. I know that First Baptist St. Charles is a mission-minded church, and I want to ask you to continue to take the gospel in our neighborhoods, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our relatives, and also across oceans to the other end of the earth. I want to thank Pastor Buddy for the opportunity to stand in his pulpit and to speak to you this morning. I want to thank him for the support he's been to me and the friendship that we have developed. And also, I'm so excited for him as a new granddad. How many grandparents do we have here? All right, amazing. Wow. Well, God bless you. I think you know what I'm going to talk about when I say that it's easy to leave your kids behind. It's a lot harder to leave your grandkids behind. Or at least that's what I found out. I have a granddaughter who is 1 year old. And it's not that I don't care about my kids, but I just don't care. But my granddaughter, I do care. And everywhere I go, I try to find something for my granddaughter. I forget about the kids, but something that I could bring back for my granddaughter. And I know Pastor Buddy is going to experience the same kind of feelings that you guys know what I'm talking about. And I pray that God will bless him with many, many grandkids. And those of you who don't have grandkids, may God give you at the right time, grandkids at the right time according to his purpose. My name is George Pordia, and I grew up in a country that was communistic and communism for 45 years. I had the opportunity to see what actual freedom, true freedom, is all about. And I want to talk a little bit about freedom this morning, because we live in a world that is struggling to find meaningful freedom, to find true freedom, without knowing what actually God Almighty tells us that freedom is all about. We oftentimes try to define what it means to be free, yet at the end of the day, we go to sleep enslaved by our worries, by our anxieties, by our doubts and fears. So even though we live in the United States of America, the greatest country on the face of this earth, and we say that we are a country of freedom, a country that propagates freedom wherever we go, at the end of the day, we know that there are many people around us that are enslaved and do not know what it means to be free. We often look at the secular world and we try to define what secular freedom is all about. What does the world say that freedom is all about? And at the end, when we tried everything that the world says, we are still empty, we are still void in our souls. We witness different wars going on in our world. In fact, the war in Ukraine has made many victims, and many people are suffering because of the war. And many people would like to experience political freedom. Many people would like to have the freedom that you and I enjoy here in America. As I said, I grew up in Romania, which was a communist country for about 45 years. We didn't have the freedom to vote. And even though we did go to vote, we cast our vote. But then when the results came at the end of election, still the communist dictator was the one elected with 99.9%. So it doesn't matter who we voted for. He was the one who got elected. In December, though, of 1989, a reformed pastor was supposed to be arrested and taken away to an undisclosed location. And the people of the church gathered around his church and made a human chain. And more people from the city of Timișoara came and said, "What's going on here?" And they would tell him, you know, "They're trying to take our pastor away. They're trying to arrest him." So more chains were formed so that the secret police could not come and arrest this pastor. Eventually, the crowds moved into the city square, where there was a huge, beautiful Greek Orthodox cathedral. And as they started to chant slogans against the communist dictator and against communism in general, the dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu ordered the army to come out and start dispersing the crowds by shooting. And the people saw the church and they ran towards the church while the priests would lock the doors from the inside. And many people died on the steps of that cathedral looking for political freedom. The revolution moved all over the country, especially to the capital city, Bucharest, where tens of thousands of people shed their blood and gave their life on the streets that I walk on today. 33 years later, the Romanian people are still looking for a meaningful freedom. Yet they have the political freedom they desired. In their souls, they continue to be enslaved, in bondage. In 1989, when we had the revolution, we took the Romanian flag, and on the yellow stripe of the flag, right in the center, we had the emblem of communism, and we cut out that symbol of communism, that emblem, and as we did so, there was a hole in the flag. And many people were waving their flags during that revolution with a hole in it. And I believe that hole represents the emptiness of the Romanian freedom, because the political freedom that they looked for and they longed for did not fulfill that emptiness that they had in their souls. So now many people turn towards materialism or prosperity and try to find if freedom might be in prosperity. And they looked at prosperous freedom or prosperity freedom. You see, before the revolution of 1989, we would go to the stores and most stores were empty. We did have the money to buy things, but we didn't have things to buy. 33 years later, the stores are filled with everything you want. We have the things to buy, but we don't have the money to buy them with. After World War II, when the Communist Party came to power, they believed that everyone should be equal and have equal possessions. So the first thing they did is they confiscated all the lands from the people. So the people would go and work the lands that used to be theirs. And many of them would tell you that the Communist Party made thieves out of us, because in order to survive, we went to our own lands and stole from the harvest of those lands. You'd go to the store and you have rationed food, 2 pounds of sugar per mouth, 2 pounds of flour, 1 liter of cooking oil, 1 pack of butter. Some cities had the bread ration. You were only allowed a certain amount of slices per day. If you wanted meat, you had to come to the store. We'd sometimes hear rumors that meat is coming, and a huge line would be formed. People would wait for hours to get 2 pounds of meat per person for every person that was in the line, not every person that they had at home. And I remember my mom saying, okay, you guys go play, but check with me every 30 minutes to see if maybe it's our turn to buy the meat. Electricity would be cut off in the evenings. I remember that I would do my homework with the candle, or if we were lucky to find batteries, maybe a flashlight. Gas was rationed every month. If you had a car, you would be allowed to buy 10 gallons of gas. I know some of you spent that coming to church this morning. But now we have economic freedom, 33 years later. Superstores are full. Parking lots are full. Churches' parking lots are full. We've built nice churches. Yet many Romanian people continue to be empty on the inside and enslaved by their own thoughts, doubts, fears. While pastoring in Romania, when we became part of the European Union, we had over 150 people leave the church and move to Western European countries in order that they might find prosperity. In Western Europe, they would be paid a lot more than they were paid in Romania. But many of them would come back and say, Pastor, I don't know if it was a good decision for us to leave. We feel like we went over there to find prosperity, but then our souls kind of emptied because we had no church to go to. We had no congregation to worship with. And many would say, like Naomi, when we left, we were prosperous. But when we returned empty-handed. So what is freedom? If it's not political freedom, if it's not economic freedom, what is freedom? Sacred freedom is the freedom that comes from above, from our Creator, from our God. It is the freedom that comes from our Redeemer. Freedom means knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing you. Many people believe that Christianity is a list of do's and don'ts. Many believe that when you give your life to God, He's going to give you in exchange a list of all the things you're not allowed to do. In fact, in Romania, to be a Christian, we were often called repenters. It's a derogatory term. But I told our congregation, I love being called a repenter. And I pray that God allows me to be a repenter every day of my life and be willing to repent of anything in my life that offends the holiness, the righteousness of God Almighty. But the people would say, well, if you become a Christian, you become a repenter, so you're not going to be able to do this and this and this and this and the other. And I look in Genesis chapter 2, when God created us, the Bible says that God told Adam, you are free to eat from all the trees in the garden. You are free to eat from all the trees in the garden. He created a garden, and within the boundaries of that garden, He placed man and said, you're free. You can eat from all the trees except one. And I can imagine Adam coming to God and saying, God, what about this one? Yes. Can I eat from this one? Yes. This one? Yes. How about this one? Yes. How about this one? Yes. 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 And yes. And one no. And yet we have turned it around and believed the lies of Satan, who says that our God is a no God. When in fact our God is a yes God. But our God said, for your own good, for your freedom, don't eat from this tree. And Satan takes that one tree and points out to Adam and Eve that they're not free. He cast a doubt on the word of God and the intent of God for Adam and Eve to be free. Satan will tell us today that you can do whatever you want to do. That's freedom. So what if you sin a little? Nobody will know. What if you have a little bit of a pleasure? What if you enjoy yourself? Follow your heart. No matter that our heart is desperately wicked. And as we listen to that whisper of Satan, we realize based on Hebrews 11:25 that yes, sin is pleasurable for a season. And that's what Satan wants you to do, to enjoy a little bit of your freedom. And at the end of that enjoyment, you find yourself enslaved by sin. You find yourself in the bondage that you've created, and now you cannot take yourself out of it. Jesus, on the other hand, says, keep my commandments. Jesus says, you will know my truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is calling you to know true freedom. By realizing that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is calling you to realize that you were created by God, for God. You are God's. And yet Satan took you away, enslaved you, and put you in a bondage of sin, to the point where God gave His only begotten Son to pay for your ransom, to take you back, to redeem you. That's what redemption means. Bringing back, paying back for what was God's in the first place. So Jesus says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know the truth? Because Paul puts it this way, after you are set free, the reason you are set free is actually freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Why were you bought back? Why were you redeemed? For freedom. For freedom you have been called back. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. There are so many good people around us. There are so many religious people around us who try their best to do good, to be moral, hoping that their good works would outweigh the bad works, hoping that one day they will spend eternity with God based on their performance. I love the way Jesus helps us understand that freedom is not based on what you do and what I do. It's not based on our good works. Freedom means that you know Jesus. You know what Jesus did for you and you trust in what he did for you. And not only that, but Jesus knows you. And there is a relationship that goes on between you and Jesus, our Redeemer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Do you know Jesus, and does Jesus know you? In our family, my dad grew up in a Greek Orthodox home. In fact, his dad was a Greek Orthodox priest. My mom grew up in a Baptist home, and her dad was a Baptist preacher. And I know they should not get married, but I wouldn't be here today. So I'm glad they did. But my dad was a very moral man and a very religious man, a man who did good works and tried to help everybody he could. My mom would take me and my sister to church every Sunday. He would not come. But you know, he'd go to work, and he worked at the border between Romania and Hungary as assistant chief of customs. He had a very good job. And he would go into this room where they had Bibles that were confiscated, and he would take 2, 3, 4 Bibles, put them into his briefcase, and bring them home. And he would give them to my mom. My mom would take them and give them to people in church who did not have a copy of God's Word, because you couldn't have a Bible under communism. There were times when the pastor would call my mom and say, "We have some friends who are flying from America to Vienna, Austria. They're going to rent a car. They're going to fill it up with Bibles. Would it be okay for you to take this information, the car, the model, the color, license plate? These people are going to arrive at the border at this time. Would you ask your husband to help them pass with no problems?" So my dad would wait for them at the border at the set time. He got the information from my mom, and he would go and he saw the car. He would go to the car and open the trunk and look in the trunk and close the trunk and let them go free.
And there were times when pastors would stand up and say, hey, we brought Bibles into the country. And as we got to the border, the God Almighty blinded the eyes of the border guard. And he opened the trunk and closed the trunk and didn't see the Bibles. And I said, I wonder if that's my dad. But I would say those are some good works that he did. But yet, he was lost without Christ. He knew who Jesus was, but Jesus didn't know who he was. And one day he was coming back home from work, and he got into a car accident and rolled over with the car. Totaled the car, he got out and realized there are a few scratches, nothing broken. He got on his knees and gave his life to Jesus and said, Lord, I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. He went to the church where my mom and us would go, and he got baptized. At his baptism, there were secret informants in the meeting. They went and reported my dad that he got baptized, that he trusted Jesus. He was called in. He was kicked out from the Communist Party. He was demoted from his job. He was eventually transferred to a different job and then fired because of his faith in Jesus. Was he a good man? Yes. Did he do good works? Amazing works. Good deeds? Yes. Did he love people? Absolutely. Yeah, he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And does Jesus know you? Because that is freedom. Blaise Pascal, the great 17th century mathematician and philosopher, said that there is a God-shaped hole within every one of us that only God can fill. Unfortunately, many of us try to fill that emptiness with what the world has to offer. And at the end of the day, we're still empty, still unfulfilled, unhappy, worry, doubts, anxieties, fears. You can experience freedom today, and I want to invite you to know Jesus and Jesus to know you. What's sacred freedom? Having a relationship with Jesus. And second of all, loving God and loving others. And I noticed on the bulletin, the mission of the church, loving God, loving others. We should do that, yes. There's a story in the Bible that a Pharisee comes to Jesus and he said, can you tell us what is the greatest commandment? We have 613 commandments in our law. So to tempt Jesus, he asked Jesus to pick one, the greatest one from all the laws. And this is what Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The entire law can be summed up in these two commandments, love God and love others. Do you love God? How much do you love God? One of the pastors of Romania was arrested for preaching the gospel, and he was tortured day after day, and won't go into details, but eventually they brought in his son because this pastor would not deny his faith in Jesus. And as they brought in his son, they start torturing the son of the pastor, and the pastor had to watch. And he heard the screams, he saw the tears, he understood the agony, the pain that the son was going through. And he got to the point where he said, please stop, let my son go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. With tears in his eyes, the son looked toward his dad and said, Dad, whatever you do, please, I beg of you, do not deny your faith in Jesus, our Savior. Because I don't want to have a traitor as my dad. How much do you love God? You see, many of us said, oh, I think I'd be willing to die for God. I'd be willing to die for Jesus. But let me ask you, are you willing to live for Him? Are you willing to say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lastly, to be free means to love others. Galatians 5:13, Paul says, "Brothers, you have been called unto liberty, unto freedom. Only use not this freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Love one another. To know freedom is to cry with those who cry. To live in freedom means to love those who are unlovable. To rejoice with those who rejoice. And even further, to bless those who curse you and persecute you. To be free means to be willing to give your coat when somebody forces you to give them your shirt. To walk 2 miles when somebody asks for one. Do you love God and do you love others? One of the pastors in Romania, Richard Vorbrand, wrote the book Tortured for Christ. He was placed in jail one time and they tortured him, they beat him, and they took his clothes. He was naked in a cell with a blanket and a bucket for his waist. One evening, one of the guards took him out to beat him some more and then took that bucket, and as he was tied to a chair, the guard poured down the waste on his face as the guard was quoting the Lord's Supper text. "This is the body of your Savior that is broken for you and the blood of Jesus that is shed for you." He was thrown back in his cell and couldn't lift up his eyes towards heaven in shame because of the blasphemy that just took place. And for days, he couldn't even pray. Eventually, one evening, God got his attention and said, "Hey, Richard, the guard, you know, the guard that hurt you, he forgot his coat at home. Look at him, he's shivering. Would you be willing to take your blanket and throw it to him, give it to him? He's cold." And the pastor said, "No way, God, I am not doing that. He blasphemed your name. No way." Yet the voice kept ringing in his soul, "Would you give him your blanket? I gave my son for him." Finally, he took his blanket and he threw it to the guard and said, "Sir, you need this more than I do." And the guard came to him and said, "How come you show kindness when I have tortured and blasphemed the name of your Savior?" And that was the night when the pastor was able to share the love of Jesus. Because to be free means to love God and to love others. And that night, the guard trusted Jesus as his own personal Savior. And then he counseled him and put his marriage together. And then the guard went and told the other guards what was happening in his life and in his marriage. And 30 people were affected because a man was willing to give up his blanket. What is God asking you to give up? Who is God telling you to love? I wonder if today you would be willing to say, "I want to know this freedom. I want to know Jesus, and I want for Jesus to know me. I want to love God, and I want to love others." There is a God-shaped hole in every one of us. And the only way to fill that hole is right there, Jesus. Would you bow your hands and close your eyes with me? Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for meeting with us. I thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. I thank you that you have created us for freedom. And Lord, I pray that if there is anyone in this room who does not know this freedom that comes from you, may they experience it today. May this day be the day of their salvation. May they know Jesus and for Jesus to know them. To enter into a personal relationship with Jesus, not a religion, but a relationship. And Lord, those of us who have experienced redemption, help us, Lord, to always live for you, to love you with all our being. But always help us to have our eyes open for the opportunities you put in our path to make a difference by loving others, even those who hurt us. In Jesus' name I pray.